In the recent coffee mornings, we've been studying the so-called seven sayings from the cross, our Lord's last words before he died. But our attention is going to shift this morning from his last recorded words to his first recorded words, to his first recorded words after he came into the world, and to his first recorded words after he rose from the dead. The first recorded words of Jesus on earth are found in Luke chapter 2. He was, you may recall, then 12 years of age. He had accompanied Mary and Joseph to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. On the return journey, having failed to locate him among their friends and acquaintances, Mary and Joseph went back into the city, where they finally found our Lord in the temple. When Mary challenged him, "Child, why have you done this to us? Behold, your father and I have sought you in great distress," he replied, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be in the things of my father?" By which he meant either that I must be about my father's affairs, my father's business, or that I must be in my father's house. The first words spoken by our Lord the other side of death are found in John chapter 20. Originally, Mary Magdalene had accompanied another Mary, that is the mother of James and Joses, and Salome, to the tomb where Jesus had earlier been buried by Joseph Arimathea and Nicodemus. When the other women left, Mary ran to fetch Peter and John, and when some time later they also had gone back to their own homes, she had stood weeping at the tomb. Stooping to look inside, she now saw two angels in white sitting there. But she was no more interested in the two angels than she had been in the two apostles. For Mary had lost her greatest treasure. With Jesus, she had everything. Without him, she had nothing. And so, as she made very clear to the angels, her concern lay only with the one she still regarded as her Lord. "They have taken away my Lord," she said. "I do not know where they have laid him." And then she saw him, saw the Saviour himself. Yeah, she failed to recognize him until he spoke her name. But in that one moment, everything changed. For though she didn't recognize him from his physical appearance, supposing him, we read, to be the gardener, and though she didn't recognize him from his kindly inquiry, "Why are you weeping? Who are you seeking?" there was no mistaking the way he addressed her. Clearly nobody else pronounced her name in quite this way. No one that is other than the good shepherd who knows every last one of his sheep by name. But when she attempted to hold on to him, he immediately responded, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." I said that Mary Magdalene initially accompanied Salome and another Mary to the womb, to the tomb, that morning. And so, according to Mark chapter 16, she did. But I was interested to note that according to the close of Mark 15. Although these same three women had been present at the cross, looking on, as Mark puts it, only the two Marys were at the tomb to observe where Jesus was laid. Salome, that is, was missing. Although I don't think it's difficult to guess the reason for her absence. It seems clear that Salome was the sister of Mary, our Lord's mother, and the mother herself of the Apostle John. And we know that when on the cross our Lord had committed his own mother to John's care, from that hour, as the Apostle later recorded it, he, John, had taken her to his own home. Now, piecing together the facts, I think we must assume that Salome accompanied her son when he escorted her heartbroken sister to his house. Hence, her absence from the tomb when several hours later our Lord was buried. And so, Mary Magdalene was one of only two women to witness our Lord's actual burial. It's worth noting that just as immediately prior to the beginning of his life on earth, just as then we read of two women linked together by joyful expectation, and I refer, of course, to Elizabeth and to Mary the Virgin, so immediately following its close, we read of two women linked together now by their sorrowful devotion. But consider just a few of the fascinating parallels between our Lord's first recorded words on earth and his first recorded words in resurrection. To begin, we note that just as his first recorded words on earth were spoken, we discover, some 3 days after a feast of the Passover, so also his first recorded words after he rose from the dead were spoken some 3 days after a later Passover feast. And then, just as his first recorded words on earth were spoken to a Mary who, in her own words, had, quote, sought him, distressed and sorrowing, so his first recorded words in resurrection were spoken to another Mary, who also, we are told, quote, sought him, and who sought him distressed and sorrowing, her loud and uncontrolled weeping bearing witness to her great sorrow. Note also how both Marys had jumped to wrong conclusions. For along with her husband, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had, quote, supposed our Lord to have been in the company when they'd left Jerusalem to return home. For her part, Mary Magdalene, when first she saw the Lord at the tomb, had, quote, supposed him to be the gardener. Both women were, of course, sorely mistaken. Again, note that both Marys were gently corrected by the Lord on account of their actions. Following his question, why did you seek me? The Saviour asked his mother, did you not know that I must be in the things of my Father? Following his question, who are you seeking? He charged Mary Magdalene, do not cling to me. Stop clinging to me, literally. For I have not yet ascended to my Father. Now evidently Mary had clutched and held on to the risen Lord as the one that she had known and loved ever since he had expelled that sevenfold demonic power that had once enslaved her. But he rejected her clasp, pointing her to that greater and more intimate nearness which she would enjoy after he had ascended, for had he remained on earth, Mary might at most have touched him occasionally, But when he ascended back to the Father, she could, by the indwelling of his Spirit, she could benefit from that abiding and unbroken fellowship for which she so longed. And finally, we note that in both cases, the Lord spoke plainly of God as his Father. Back in Luke 2, fully conscious of his unique filial relationship, he had answered his mother, "Did you not know that I must be in the things of my Father?" His words, "my Father," clearly standing in deliberate contrast to her description of Joseph as "your Father." In John 20, his words to Mary, "I have not yet ascended to my Father," were immediately followed by his instruction, "Go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father." Can hardly miss the vast difference between these two sayings of our Lord, represented by those last three words, "and your Father." And that vast difference, my brother, my sister, is explained by these symbols here this morning. For these emblems speak to us with an eloquence all their own of that cross which accounts for the addition of those words, of that cross which provides the basis for our spiritual relationship to God as Father, of that cross which made it possible for us, who once were, as the Apostle Paul expressed it, beginning of Ephesians 2, who once were by nature the children of wrath, to now be, by grace, the children of God. Having earlier spoken of his followers as my sheep and my friends, now, with his death and resurrection behind him, he speaks of them as my brethren. And he points them to God, not only as his Father, but as theirs too. So that by the Holy Spirit, which they should shortly receive, they would be able to cry out, as he himself had in Gethsemane, "Abba, Father." And that unspeakable privilege is ours too. And all because of that death which we have come to proclaim this morning. In the words of J.G. Deck, "Abba, Father, we approach thee in our Saviour's precious name. We, thy children, here assembled now, thy promised blessing claim. From our sins his blood hath washed us. 'Tis through him our souls draw nigh, and thy Spirit too hath taught us, Abba, Father, thus to cry." Shall we pray?